Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Today, I am joined again by Toby Oradine. Toby is the founder and editor-in-chief of Black Ballad, which is a subscription lifestyle magazine written for Black British women. Toby was named as Forbes 30 Under 30 with her co-founder, Bola Owenyi. Toby is also a freelance journalist, and her work has appeared in BuzzFeed, The Pool, and The Debrief, just to name a few. In today's episode, me and Toby cover why it's important to strike a balance between sharing your personal life online to propel your business. We get into the nitty-gritty of crowdfunding, what considerations you need to make before launching, and how to promote it. You'll learn how to handle making a mistake and the importance of not dwelling when you need to readjust your goals and your targets. We talk about why leaning into your niche is the key to your success, as well as the one thing Toby does that has been the most significant driver of growth for Black Ballad. Have a listen. Who did you want to be before you became who you are, and why?
Oh, who did I want to be before I became who I am today? I probably wanted to be either Oprah, or Beyonce.
What? What?
Very different.
Like, they are like chalk and cheese.
Yeah, but you know what? They're both Black women who have defined their own paths, and I think they both show the differences in how you can be powerful Black women. Yeah. And there's no one set formula to being a powerful Black woman, and I think that's why I love looking at both of them and seeing them both as equals, because they're so different. You know, Oprah, you know, she is a mogul. You know, she was the best when she was doing her talk show, and when she was doing, like, you know, it is journalism. Like, some people be like, really, it's not journalism, but she did start in journalism and news anchoring, and she worked her way up. And you can, if you think about a talk show host, everyone still says Oprah's the best. There's no Ellen DeGeneres without Oprah. Yeah. All these chat shows that
Wendy Williams.
Yeah, all, none of them, no matter how far away they are from the Oprah show, they wouldn't have existed without Oprah. And she opened so many doors, I think, for Black women wherever they were. Well, you might have been in the food industry, you might have been in the music industry, but because she really took hold of her fate and really made sure she was, you know, a producer, she was looking over everything, she was, you know, the CEO of her own company, it really empowered a lot of people. And I think that that's why I loved her so much. And as for Beyonce, I am...
Are you part of the Beehive?
Yeah, I am, sadly.
Oh, God.
So yeah, I just think both of them have really done great things in terms of being the authors of their own fate. And I think both of them, no matter where they've got to, and they've got to success, they've have been like, okay, you know what? I'm not content. I can do more. And I just think that's just such a great example. And I think because they're just in such both different industries and carrying themselves so differently, I think they're just great examples of, like, working hard Black women that are just winning all the time.
So, I mean, I'm kind of like more sold on Beyonce now, which I didn't think.
Okay.
But I love what she represents. I like her work ethic. She's an incredible businesswoman, and you can tell that she really, if she doesn't know something herself, she at least surrounds herself with incredible people who do know what they are doing. And I think that's the same with Oprah. Like, you can tell that they've got, like, a really good team of people around them who clearly know what they're doing, and that drives and uplifts that machine.
I think so. And I think another thing, you know, looking at now the age of social media that we're on, what I love about both of them is that they don't rely on their personal lives. I mean, I know Beyonce used her personal life in Lemonade or whatever for her art, but you don't see them going out giving interviews and trying to be photographed and trying to have the final word on social media like a lot of celebs are doing, to kind of, like, you know, draw attention. They actually just are like, you know what, I'm working hard on this. And like, if you don't like me because I don't do interviews or I don't do this, that's fine. Like, you rarely see either of them give an interview. And I think that's just such a good example to follow. Like, I think sometimes we rely on our, you know, our social media personas or our little bit of celeb to kind of push our professions forward. Yeah. And I think they're great examples, whether you like them or not, of people that are like, you know what, I'm not going to go down that route. I'm just going to work hard. And, you know, if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. And I think that's a lesson that I think a lot of us could benefit from today.
I mean, but then on the flip side of that, if you don't give interviews and you don't, like, they're already machines, right?
Yeah.
So if someone's just starting out,
oh hell no, you gotta like,
you gotta be out here working.
Look, Beyonce was on red carpet doing MTV interview at, like, she was interviewing celebs. She worked, you know, like, she sat at the back and like she worked her way up and she's done every cover. I just think she's gotten to a point now where she knows that, you know, look, I've worked hard enough not to do it. And I think there's nothing wrong with of having a plan and getting to that point, but I think she's paid her dues. I think Oprah's paid her dues. I think they've all paid their dues. I'm not saying if you're new in the game, be like, I'm so hot, you know, don't talk to me.
So I guess ultimately with Beyonce and Oprah being the kind of people that you look up to, whose career you admire.
Yep.
When has there been an occasion that you've kind of channeled those qualities of those two women, or maybe even one of them, that kind of was significant for you?
It felt like when we put out the crowdfund, we wasn't sure if people were going to respond. We wasn't sure if we were going to make our target. But what Bola and I did was that we, Bola, who happens to be my co-founder of Black Ballad and my business partner, we read around crowdfunds. We constantly did, as soon as it was launched, we were still reading up on it. We were still looking at other people's crowdfunds, mm-hmm. what people were doing, how we could make it better, how we could intrigue people. And even in the crowdfund, we shaped what Black Ballad now would look like. You know, Black Ballad at the moment is a lifestyle platform for Black women. And, you know, we give content, events, and we have a directory which gives members discounts to Black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. The final strand of giving discounts to Black-owned businesses, that was added in the crowdfund. Yeah. Like, we constantly, like, day and night, we ate, slept, and breathed the crowdfund. Like, and I think...
Oh, God.
Literally for a month, it felt so intense. That was the only thing me and him would talk about. But what it reminds me of is, when Beyonce's on tour or when she's making an album, she's like an athlete. Like, that's all she thinks about. That's all she's going to do. And that's all she's going to, like, even talk about.
Yeah.
And that's what we did with the crowdfund. And it was so intense. And I probably people around us probably hated us. But I had no time for anything else. I remember in the crowdfund, the only thing we did, we took one day off, which was for my birthday.
Yeah.
And even then, in the evening, we came home and we was like, the crowdfund, we need to talk about it. Like, literally, any content we could get our hands on, any sort of brainstorming we needed to do, we did it. And, you know, it did pay off in the end. We reached the target we wanted to reach. But yeah, like, just being so consumed with a project,
yeah,
and giving more than what you think you have, which I think is something, I'm not trying to compare myself to Beyonce so people don't come for me, but like, I think that's what I think that's what I see in Beyonce when she does an album or when she's talking about her work, is that she's so consumed to it, she gives everything to it.
Yeah.
And she's so committed to it. So that commitment that we gave to the crowdfund is what I would compare to.
That's a beautiful juxtaposition. I like using the word juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I think having that athlete mindset, like you said, because very rarely do I think about athletes, but what they do have is like endless endurance and the ability to just keep going. And there's almost like something, I don't want to say something has to break, but it's almost like there is a barrier that you have up in your mind that you really have to just push through.
Mm.
I don't think there's been a moment in the running of this business that's kind of... No, it was the festival. I can't lie, that festival broke my whole spirit. But
it was a learning experience.
It was a learning experience, but it was also incredible.
Yeah.
In so many ways. Like, for all the things that went wrong with that festival.
There were so many things that went right.
So, like, infinitely more things went right. And it's only now, a good 4 months later, that I can sit there and be like, no, that was an incredible feat. Like, yeah, I think there's something to say about like the endurance that it takes to kind of focus, kind of laser focus on your goals. I know that you guys did readjust your target. What was that like?
It was a learning experience. The reason we readjusted our target is that this sounds really stupid now in like looking back, but we didn't look at how many digital subscribers mainstream magazines had. They hardly have any.
Oh, interesting.
And we was thinking, that doesn't make sense. Why have we got a target that's like it was 10,000 wasn't our target, but like 10,000 digital subscribers, but yet Marie Claire, which is for the majority of women, only has 1,000 digital members subscribing.
Oh, wow, really?
That's tiny. Like, I don't know if it's that number now or what, like, it was kind of like, so they've been doing it this long, they have this budget, they have this backing behind them, and who are we? So then it was a reality check. It was a reality check to say, as much as Black Ballad is great and we want it to be big, because our audience is a smaller proportion, you know, we have to have smaller targets. So it was a reality check. It wasn't even it didn't make us sad or anything. If anything, it just showed us, okay, that was an area where we didn't do our research beforehand.
Yeah.
So it just kind of made me and my business partner Bola think that, okay, we need to be like, there's no area, there's no stone that cannot be unturned when we're doing a project. Like, we have to look at every single thing. And I remember we told our mentor, oh yeah, we're readjusting because don't I know. She was like, did you not look at that beforehand? We was like, nope. And she was like, oh my God, okay. Like, I remember. And so yeah, it was more of a reality check. And you know, I think sometimes when you've only got a short amount of time to pull something off, you don't dwell on it.
You've got people from around the world subscribing to this platform that I guess you created for and by Black women.
Yeah.
It's so neat, Black British women specifically, actually, which is like this tiny pool of people. And why have you resisted? Because I mean, I know you. So why have you only kept it to just Black women and not kind of at least broaden that out?
I think
to appeal to a larger audience base.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that always irritates me. And when I see publications for women of color, and then I only see Black women, and I'm like, women of color isn't just Black women. It's a little bit broader.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I just thought that was just a little bit like, you're not really doing what you say you're meant to do. I didn't want to fall into that trap. And I think the best people to represent experiences are those with the lived experience.
Absolutely. I agree with
that. Because my co-founder happens to be a Black man, you know, it's not, you know, another woman of color. I just felt that I wasn't the right person to put those experiences and edit those experiences. And, you know, some people feel differently. I just personally didn't feel that it was right, because one of the things that I was screaming about was that there are Black writers out there who have the lived experiences to write articles, to write books, but yet everybody who keeps profiting off these experiences, whether it be in academia, whether it be in publishing, you know, journalism, are white people. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And I'm not saying that if you are doing that, you're a hypocrite. It was just what was going to let me sleep well at night. And I know Black women. And when I say that, I know Black women from my identity, you know, as a, you know, working class East London heterosexual Christian girl. Do you know what I mean? I don't know every facet of Black womanhood, but I can relate to a lot of facets of Black womanhood.
Yeah.
And I just felt if I was going to make an authentic product, it was only going to be for Black women. And also, I think this whole women of colour, the anti-Blackness that exists within the communities of colour is never really addressed.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes lumping us all together as the other opposite white women can be quite damaging. So just those two things. And I couldn't make peace with it. So I was like, I don't think it should be like that. But there are some fantastic platforms like Galdam who have managed to get a collective of women from different, you know, backgrounds and, you know, have their input, and, you know, Liv and Charlie have those resources and they have those connections, and kudos to them for doing it. I didn't have those resources and connections, so I just thought it wasn't my place.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Fair enough. I mean, I love Love Island. I think it's a fantastic place. I've met some incredible people. How do you then like reach people that need what it is that you're creating? How do you market and do the outreach? Because I think a lot of times it can be so easy to preach to the converted.
Yeah.
So how do you break out of the bubble? Like now you're kind of building up subscribers outside of London, for example. Mm-hmm. But like, what was the process for getting to that?
One resource that or one method that has helped actually is my freelance work. I have always said that I write about, you know, issues that affect Black women in white spaces, and some people have been like, really? Or like, I will speak at these events and people are like, really? Because not every Black woman will want Black Ballad. They will want to be in those mainstream spaces and want to feel like equals in those spaces, but yet they will want to be represented accurately.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I can write, why not write there? And that has allowed me to reach Black women who have seen my work on platforms like The Pool or, you know, The Independent or The Debrief. And they followed me on Twitter and then said, okay, she's doing this. And then they're like, oh, what's Black Ballad? So, you know, putting myself out in other media spaces has really helped, you know, broaden the outreach of Black Ballad.
Yeah.
Besides that, you know, our events, we kind of see it as like, because they're open to everybody, you don't have to be a member to come to an event. You just get a discount if you are a member.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time people have like stumbled across the events on Eventbrite and then they've been members because they've been to these events.
Yeah.
So we understand that events are really important, and next year we'll be doing more events outside London.
That's cool.
I'm really excited about that. So events and, you know, social media is, you know, it makes the world smaller.
It is tiny out there in these Twitter streets.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be, you know, that's its pros and cons, but I can never deny how social media has helped the growth of Black Ballad and the outreach. You know, if there was no social media, Black Ballad wouldn't be where it is. So definitely, as I said, my freelance work has probably been the most powerful in terms of getting out to people who don't know what Black Ballad is. Mm-hmm. But then it's events and it's social media that have also helped.
I think that's so smart that you... I like that you were able to articulate that as beautifully as you did for a start. Not to say that you are articulate in that that patronizing way that people do.
No, don't worry.
I always knew that you freelanced and wrote for all of these amazing publications, but I never knew the reason behind it. And not that I ever frowned upon it. I thought, oh, look at Toby, she's over here. She's over there. She's doing bits.
You know, some people are like, why though? And then like, there are multiple reasons why, but I think that's one thing when you are growing your business. Mm. I think you have to understand that there are many sort of, you know, layers in order to make, or many pieces of the puzzle that will make it complete.
Yeah.
And I always knew, and funny enough, my co-founder, when I said the plan was always to write for mainstream and have Black Ballad, he didn't get it at first. And he was like, really, do you need to? But there are some things I've done on the mainstream that I've had to make a tough call. Do I pitch that to mainstream or do I write on Black Ballad? And sometimes I've said, you know what? Like, I'm going to write for Black Ballad. Like, the article that I will always say that changed my career. I wrote a piece for BuzzFeed about the fact of that my parents who brought me up are actually white and they're not black. And I remember writing it and was like, am I going to put it on black? Like, I always thought, should I write it? And then I was like, I pitched it to BuzzFeed and it went viral. And I remember people, editors got in touch with me like, do you want to write for me? Do you want to write for me?
Wow.
And I knew it wasn't supposed to be on Black Ballad. And from that, people followed me. And some of those people that followed me are actually even members today.
Yeah.
And like, I think I've seen the power of sometimes it feels like you're taking a hit for Black Ballad when you're not writing for it.
Yeah.
But I know that sometimes it, the end goal is greater.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people don't think it's worthwhile writing for mainstream, but I do, because it's a part of the plan. It's a part of making sure Black women are represented accurately as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think Black Ballad should be the only space that has Black women's voices anyways.
Absolutely. So I want to know what the worst advice you've ever received was and what the best advice you've ever received was.
Worst advice was, I know who gave it. I won't say who gave it. I asked this person who is at probably the forefront of our community. You know, how to grow my business. Social media. That's all you need. Really? Okay. I just think people have people give social media such weight, and it, you know, it's a part of the puzzle, but it's not the biggest piece, I don't think, or the most important piece. Don't get me wrong, it's a very important piece, but I think there are other things that are just as important.
Like what? It's an actionable podcast.
Okay, so I think one thing that a lot of people don't probably give as much weight to is probably like your target setting and your end goal, and working out your plan, towards that end goal. Like, I know where I want to be in 5 years with Black Ballad, if that makes sense. I went working towards it. And I think also having a good business model. Like, what's the point of being on social media and being like, oh yeah, I've got this business, but you have no idea where you're going to make your income from?
Yeah.
Because that's what I did. I was on, you know, Twitter, you know, Instagram without a business model, without an idea. And I was just creating content, which was good content. And yet there was no money coming in.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get how that person thought, like, saying social media will fix all my problems.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not how that works.
Yeah.
Social media hasn't even been the sole reason for my growth. Like,
yeah,
we're a very social media podcast, but it's not the only reason we've grown. So, yeah, that...
I think it was just disappointing that from who it came from anyways.
Interesting.
But then maybe not. So... So yeah, the best advice I've ever had. It's not like someone gave me like this advice, but I saw a quote that like really helps me, is that don't expect everybody to see what you see, because God only gave you your vision.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian, but I think that's one thing, like only you know your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes we can get so upset when people don't get like our business, or don't get why we've made decisions in our business. But then sometimes you have to take a step back and be like, but like, that's not their vision.
Yeah.
Like,
I've had to really come around to that way of thinking as well. Yeah.
That's not their vision. So of course they don't get it. I'm not saying that everybody can be totally wrong. If they don't get, like, there's things that we've done where people have been like, that don't make sense. And like, you know, what can I say? So I remember I used to kind of use my friends as like focus groups in Black Ballad.
Yeah.
And I remember, and you know, an illustrator gave me the logo for Black Ballad. It wasn't always two B's. It was a girl with a ponytail. And it was a silhouette. Yeah. And it was like a very, very wavy ponytail. And I knew something was off.
Right.
And this was like 3-4 years ago. And I knew something was off, but I couldn't articulate it then, because being woke is a journey, let's be real.
Yeah.
And one of my friends said, one of my friends really fought for it and said, that's the wrong logo. That's not right. Like, she really, really fought for it.
Yeah.
And then I had an illustrator in my ear being like, no, and I was like, but, and I was like, really, really? And one of my friends really fought and said, don't use it. And
what happened? I'm so intrigued.
We scrapped it and it was the two B's. We went with two B's instead.
Yeah, but what wasn't right about it? I'm actually trying to search the internet.
Because it bent to Eurocentric standards of hair.
Oh, interesting.
But I couldn't see it at the time. So not all the time, but sometimes when you do actually have really close people who you really tell your vision to, sometimes they can see things that you might not be able to see because you're so in the thick of it. And that's what the best example I can give. And my friend, she's one of my best friends. I went uni with her, named Charlene. And she said, don't use it. And she kept saying it. And it was like, she was like, literally kept going on. She's like, it's the wrong logo. And then my best friend saw it and she said it was the wrong logo. And then I was like, okay, there's two people that said it. And I went to every one of my good girlfriends, and actually all the girlfriends, four of them are on my bridal train actually. And they all said, don't use it. And I was like, okay, this is the one time when I'll take their advice. And I thank God I took their advice. But because I had laid out my vision to them so much, they just saw something that I couldn't see at that time.
Yeah.
But that's, that's a really great example for me. But sometimes you just have to know when people are totally wrong. Like,
and that was like some really good advice. Like, yeah. So thanks for sharing that. So many things I thought about and I was like, ugh. All right, Toby, that's pretty much everything I have for the podcast.
Oh, really? Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. Now you have a few more tips to grow your audience and build your communities. You can follow Toby on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Toby Origine. That's IAMTOBIOREDEIN. And you can find out more about Black Ballad by visiting blackballad.co.uk. I highly recommend checking out the content there. It's amazing. If you like how this podcast is made and you think you can do what I do, then you need to reach out to the Shout Out Network. Find out more about membership by visiting shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do leave a review on iTunes. I've seen a couple come through, so thank you so much. And I love reading them, so please do keep bringing them in. To get extended show notes listing the tools and resources we've talked about in this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. Show notes are updated every Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.